Good morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. God, as we go into your word, I pray that you open up our hearts to hear what it is that your Holy Spirit is saying to us, God. Father, may these words penetrate deep into our hearts and bring transformation to us, bring change into our lives, God, for that is the power of your Holy Spirit, God. Make us anew. God, refresh us, Lord, as we worship, as we pray, Father, may it be pleasing to your ears, the words that we speak, the songs that we sing. We thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of spirit of fainting, so they would be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers will stand and pasture your flocks, and foreigners will be your farmers and your vine dressers. But you will be called the priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God. You will eat the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. And instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, they will possess a double portion in their land. Everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and the burnt offering. And I will faithfully give them their recompense and make an everlasting covenant with them. Then their offspring will be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them will recognize them, because they are the offspring whom the Lord has blessed. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes the things sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Amen. Okay. This passage is within Isaiah. It's located, obviously, it's close to the very end. And actually, from Isaiah chapter 40 onwards, it talks about, Isaiah talks about this, the future restoration of Israel. And there's all these passages of hope about how Israel is going to be restored, and not just Israel. I mean, Isaiah is speaking about Israel, but this is taken as a prophecy for future Israel and for us as Christians, our future as followers of Christ, as the body of Christ. So this is one of the encouraging passages, and the reason why we know that this is not just talking about Israel after the exile, but it applies to future Israel, like even in our future and to us as believers as well, is because Jesus quotes this. It's one of the famous passages that he quotes. This occurs in Luke chapter 4 when he's about to start his ministry according to the Gospel of Luke. And he goes into his hometown, Capernaum, and then on a Sunday, but he goes into synagogue. And he starts quoting this passage. The Spirit of the living God is upon me now. The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. And it's interesting, I'm quoting from Isaiah, it's interesting that he actually stops in the middle of verse 2. So he goes, to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he stops. And it's interesting that he doesn't continue on in the verse. Like, even looking at Isaiah in verse 2, he stops in the middle of the sentence. And there's no, that's it. And the reason that's interesting is because you have to think about why Jesus came. He came the first time, because we know he's coming again. He came the first time to do exactly what he quoted in Isaiah. And in the second time that Jesus will come, that he will execute that latter part of verse 2, the day of vengeance of our God. When Jesus comes again, that's when everyone gets judged. And if you know you read passages in Revelation, you have these scary images of the man on the white horse, and his robe is like drenched with blood. And that's really talking about the day of the vengeance of our God. That when Jesus comes back, there will be judgment for everyone, and his enemies will be vanquished, and he will. I think it's in Isaiah 62 or 63. And why is your apparel red and your garments like the one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden the wine trough alone, and from the peoples there was no man with me. I also trod them in my anger and trampled them in my wrath, and their lifeblood sprinkled on my garments, and I stained all my raiment. For the day of vengeance was in my heart, and my year of redemption has come. So you have this like crazy, scary image of Jesus coming back and, you know, executing his vengeance. But the focus actually of this passage isn't so much on the day of vengeance. Even if you look at verse 2, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. What is positive, what is good, it takes a whole year. His justice, his vengeance, only takes a day. It's very short. And so a lot of times we have this fear of God. We and rightly we should, but we have this unhealthy feeling like, oh, if I don't do something, he's going to strike me down. We see his compassionate character here. We see how he desires restoration in life for us. There's a favorable year and just one day of vengeance. In Psalm chapter 30, this is verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor for a lifetime. And as you read through, as we read through the whole entirety of chapter 61, is God really talking about the restoration of his people? And that's really, you know, that's the character of God. Yes, he is a jealous God. He is a God full of wrath. And he will execute this wrath, but at the same time, his blessing, his favor is really for much greater than this wrath in some ways. Even in chapter 63, verse 4, for the day of vengeance was in my heart, and my year of redemption has come. So he really wants to bless people. He really wants to restore people. He takes no joy. He takes no pleasure in the death of wicked people. He much rather they repent and return. Because at the end of the day, like, we are his creation. And he wants to restore his creation, everything about his creation. So that's one of the interesting things about verse 2, and kind of explains why Jesus in Luke chapter 4 stops, right, at the middle of verse 2 to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. The first time he comes, that's what he's doing. And after he finishes, he stops in the middle of verse 2. Luke tells us, he puts the Bible down. He's like, well, this prophecy has been fulfilled today in your hearing. And for whatever reason, you know, at first the people in the synagogue are like, oh yeah, that sounds really good. And they're amazed. And then later he starts kind of criticizing them, and they try to push him off a cliff. And he just kind of turns into, I don't know, like spirit, and just moves past them somehow and saves himself. But going back to Isaiah 61, we see this kind of progression of how God comes. In chapter in verses 1 to 4, that God is the one that restores. He turns He gives us oil of gladness instead of mourning. Our mantle, our spirit of fainting, will be turned into a mantle of praise, and that we will be called oaks of righteousness, that we will be planted by God and grown strong. And then from verses 4 to 9, it's what happens as a result of this planting of God, of Him restoring us and bringing us, binding up our hearts and freeing us, that we will be able to rebuild ancient ruins. We will raise up former devastations. Things that have been destroyed will be restored. And not only that, strangers, and this is talking about, people that don't believe, people that don't know God, that they will come to us, that they will look at Jesus, or they will look at believers, representatives of Jesus, and be amazed, not at us, but more so at who is doing this for us, that who is behind all our, I guess, power. And it is at this time that, I think at times the tendency, at least when I read this, I'm like, oh man, this is going to be awesome. We're going to be like living in riches and it's going to be great. But Isaiah says, but you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be spoken of as ministers of our God, that we are the ones that, will represent God and really, just show off who God is. And I take that, and it's a really important role for us to understand, or it really highlights this idea that we are His disciples. We are the ones sent out to proclaim His good news, to be His representatives, that we are priests before God, and we demonstrate to people who God is, how we serve Him, how we worship Him, how we talk about Him, how we think about Him. And then in verse 10 and verse 11, it talks about a response to what God will do for us. That, it talks about, we will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with the robe of righteousness. He has caused righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. We are the kind of the manifestation of that praise. One last thing I wanted to bring our attention to. This is in verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and freedom to prisoners. I think a lot of times when I think about, man, I wish at times where I feel shame and guilt and just the effects of sin, I'm like, Lord, you gotta help me. You gotta help me. Like, why is this happening? And I need your help. And the word afflicted, the good news to the afflicted, I think that word also in the Hebrew can mean poor or humble. And it's interesting, just as I kind of meditated on that word afflicted, and just asked God, like, what are you saying in this word? I was doing word study in the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the Bible. The word afflicted that they use is also the same word that Matthew uses in Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor, or the poor in spirit. That word, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it's this idea, I mean, the Beatitudes, it's like just bringing ourselves before God and humbling ourselves. And I think at times when we are being afflicted, or when we are afflicted, when we are brokenhearted, it is to actually, to have this attitude of humility and not self-pity. Because in some ways, when you think about it, self-pity is pride. It's like you're kind of taking pride in your current situation. It's like, yeah, this is who I am. In these times when we are afflicted, what I want to say is, you know, we need to humble ourselves. I know that that sounds a little strange to hear, but yeah, again, you know, in times when we are in, when we are dealing with sin, it can be easy to just, you know, glory in our sin, to not really be repentant, just more so like, man, I don't like the situation that I'm in, but we don't really truly humble ourselves. But when we do humble ourselves, when we are poor in spirit and we acknowledge that before God, that is when he comes to bring good news to the afflicted, to bring good news to the humble. And that's when he can really truly work in us and affect all this change that he talks about in Isaiah 61. And then that's when we will start doing all these amazing things, that we will see just what he has done for us and respond, right, by following him, by worshiping him, by being his priests. And so, you know, as for a reflection for us today, just on that point, is in times when we are in sin, you know, how quick are we to humble ourselves? How quick are we to recognize, right, or even take the time to meditate? Like, you know, ask God, Lord, in this specific situation, is there anything going on in my heart? Am I, you know, do I recognize the sin that is in me? So as we worship today, you know, let us go before God and just ask him, Lord, is there anything in my heart that is unbecoming, that is not of you? Is there anything that I need to repent of, anything that I need to meditate on, think deeply about? And so, yeah, let Holy Spirit speak to us and just, you know, reflect on that.
God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, cause you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, cause you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock, forever all my days. I will love you, God. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, cause you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom,
Even as we reflect and we pause and meditate and allow Holy Spirit to just bring us to a place where we can humble ourselves before Him, let us just be glad. I know at times it can be uncomfortable to be in that place where we are come face to face with our sin, and it's not easy to humble ourselves, but let us be glad, because it is in that place that God really just, even verse 3, the mantle of praise instead of spirit of fainting. At times when we are in that place of humility, we may just want to faint and just get away from it all, but He turns that into a mantle of praise. He's in the business of restoring us, and He wants us to be, He wants us to walk in freedom, right? He wants to bind up our broken hearts and to give freedom. And so in that, let us rejoice greatly in God. Let us let our souls exalt in our God. And so, Father, we come before You today, Lord, and we thank You, Lord, that You want to restore us, Lord. And so may we gladly embrace those times where it is difficult for us as we face our sin, as we are brought to a place where we come to our knees, where we humble ourselves before You, because in those times that You begin to work. It is in those times that You transform us into something great. So we thank You, Father. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for those in our community, friends and family of those in the community that have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and other surgeries. Let's pray for God's healing hand. Let's pray for God's restoration for them. Let's also lift up those friends and family of those in our community that are sick. And I also to receive the word of Christ into their hearts. Let's pray for open hearts. Let's pray for courage and perseverance for those who are sharing the gospel with them. Let's pray for those in a community that are suffering from various infirmities. And let's pray for God's sustenance for them, that He will continue to just be with them, to fill them with strength in this time. Let's lift up those in our community who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for open doors and wisdom and discernment for our brothers and sisters in this time. Turning to our community prayer focus, mission focus. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our government, that God will continue to give them wisdom in administrating well, in looking out for the welfare of the people of Hong Kong. Let's pray for the wealth gap in Hong Kong and that it will shrink. Let's pray for revival amongst all the believers and all the churches that that there'll be revival amongst all the churches, and that churches will stand up and be aligned to the world. Let's pray for our partners that we work with as a minister in Hong Kong, Sports Stories International, Shanti, YWAM, Two Moon, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, Mother's Choice. Let's also pray for the Hong Kong Korean Church, all the students that will be going back to school in September, that they'll be kept safe. There'll be no outbreak within the school systems. Pray for all the domestic helpers in Hong Kong, as well as all the families in distress. Please pray for the staff as we just work at doing the being in the ministries that God has put us into. Pray that we will work well and effectively and work together as a team. Let's pray for our hospitality teams. Even though there's no actual welcoming and barista right now, if there's no physical service, pray that all the teams would be ready to go when we do come back for service, and that people will be encouraged by the team members. Let's also lift up the worship and the sound, the AV on Sunday, that God will protect our AV systems and that everything will run smoothly for this service, so that people will, that there'll be no distractions when it comes to online service. Let's pray for Tuesday night gathering. I think EG should be, oh no, let's pray for EG. It's still going on. But tonight will be a good time of just gathering together, being discipled by PSAM, and just drawing closer to God. And let's lift up our house churches, first week of the house church season. Let's pray for First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, House to House, Kowloon, OPR, Princeton, Soho. Let's pray that there'll be a great time gathering together and just start the season off with a bang. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for who you are, that you're slow to anger, and great in loving kindness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your anger lasts but for a lifetime, and your favor, or your anger is but for a moment, but your favor is for a lifetime. We thank you, Father, that you want to restore us, that you want to heal us, God, that you want to bring us back to who you created us to be, Lord. And so, God, I just ask, God, for all of us that we would desire, Lord, that restoration you want for us, God. Holy Spirit, I pray you stir up our hearts, God, to seek after that, Lord, because it is in that where we are living out our calling, Lord, that we are being your representative, Lord, that others would see, God, the change that has happened in our lives, the transformation that you have done, and desire the same thing, Lord, that your glory, your name would be praised through all the earth, Father. We thank you, Father. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys at lunchtime prayer.